A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, featuring some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by our old mate Lee Mack, comedian, Blackburn Rovers fan, who is starring in an opera.
Yes, a new role for him.
As the commentator. It's a football-themed opera in the Gods of the Game. So he told us more about that, which was good. We also spoke to Simon Calder, the travel expert, because the prices of the hotels are frightening even the players' families. They're that hefty.
Great.
Shocking, really. So Simon told us why. We had a bit of a chat.
We did.
The listeners got involved, didn't they, which was good of them as always.
Yep.
And, well, that should just about do you. Here it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Paul. And it's really interesting. That game last night was fascinating because at one point, when England weren't doing particularly well in the game.
It wasn't last night, it was Monday night.
Monday night, yeah.
Don't start yet.
The thing is that it wasn't quite clicking. And you know with England, if it does click, they could do well in Qatar. There's no reason why they can't. Going forward, when they look great in that spell.
I was just saying yesterday, though, you have to ask, would they have played like that unless they were going for broke? They had nothing to lose by playing like that. Could they play like
that? Might be a lesson
if they start from scratch.
You know, it might be a lesson for him to start like that. And I do think, thank goodness, the World Cup isn't on Channel 4. It's such a bock. We're one on Channel 4.
I don't think you can just blame. It's a bit unfortunate. I don't think you can blame Channel 4.
And Havertz, is that so typical of him, isn't it? I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah, what a goal. Taking the mickey on Monday, saying, I'm sure he'll have a brilliant game. And he did that, didn't he?
Yeah, because that's what he does. He just drives you mad. I mean, he's obviously a brilliant footballer, but he just doesn't do it enough. But you saw what he can do in that game. But Werner, it was funny actually watching him. He does stretch the play, Werner, though. He does make it difficult. Germany improved when
he's always made
on.
Good runs. It's what he does at the end of the run.
Just classic Werner. I knew every time he was through, it was about three times. I thought, don't worry, he won't score here. And he didn't. But I thought Mason Mount in the game under Potter, the first game, was showing signs of coming back, and he certainly looked good when he came on. Yeah, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, but I worry about Gareth's quotes about Maguire. You know, he just so believes in him, and he just, it's almost got to a point where he has to pick him.
It's a point of principle.
Yeah, point of principle.
Well, look, we were saying yesterday, he didn't have a bad first half, and there were some good moments.
Blimey, but two goals he gave away.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously that piles the pressure on even more, but we talked to Mark Goldbridge about it. He's got to be playing games, and probably his best chance of playing games is for Lisandro Martinez or Varane to get injured. That's probably going to be his best chance.
They're
going to pick up a knock, and he comes in, he gets game time, and he does well, and he keeps his shirt. But, you know, Ten Hag doesn't care about
England. He's going to pick him.
Nor should he.
No,
it's not his job.
But he's going to pick him, whatever happens. He's going to pick him, and he's going to start him.
Well, look, I don't know. I think he's going to pick him in the squad, whether he starts him. I mean, he kind of hinted, didn't he, in that press conference, that he said if he's completely undercooked and he's hardly played any football, and but they've only got 5 days to make their mind up, unlike the normal 2 or 3 weeks you've had. What we need a nice friendly, a morale-boosting friendly against Aylesbury, like they did in 1990.
That's not a bad idea.
Big Cliff Hercules. I think England won about 8-2.
Yeah, they did.
Was that not, I think it might have been the Euros in 88.
I remember the game.
They played Aylesbury, didn't they?
And they did.
Just as a warm-up match.
Well, I think we'll get that one on.
Yeah, okay. We'll put a word in. Get Harry Maguire some game time against that. I'm not sure it'll tell us anything, whether it'll prepare us for Brazil, really. Although, maybe this is a good sign, because the BBC have moved the Sports Personality of the Year show in case England reach the World Cup final. I think you're probably going to be all right.
No, they might, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they
no, of
could,
course.
You know,
they could. Yeah. December
the 21st. No one looks that strong. I mean, the strength of the tournament looks Brazil and Argentina.
Yeah, we spoke to Tim Vickery yesterday, and they are in very good nick at the moment.
35 games for Argentina.
Yeah, they're playing very well, and so are Brazil. I mean, Tim was telling us yesterday just what an attacking force they are. You know, you'd think against better opposition, they'd be easy to catch out, but you just can't get the ball off them. They just shut you down. They're looking really, really good. So anyway, we shall see.
We shall.
A couple of things to get the listeners on. As I said, Gareth Southgate in Vienna last night, watching Iran play England's opponents. And they had a friendly yesterday evening against Senegal, finished 1-1. And the way the Sun put it, they said that Gareth Southgate travelled to Vienna for a spying mission. And I thought, I don't know about that. I mean, has he gone in at a sort of a false moustache and a pair of glasses?
Yeah.
But, I saw pictures of him. He's wearing a baseball cap.
Well, that's not like him.
So, because a lot of celebs do that. Have you noticed that? I mean, a celeb.
Famously, I noticed it with, what's his name?
Yeah, but quite a few celebs.
Phil Mitchell.
And it works. Having spoken to a celeb of our acquaintance, if he puts a baseball cap on, fewer people recognise
him. That is true.
So it does work. So maybe Gareth was on a spying mission and he was in disguise. We're interested to know today, when did you ever go in disguise and why? In what circumstances were you that person in disguise? Or maybe you've witnessed it as well. Not celebs. Could be you. Could be one you've spotted. And how effective was it? If it was a celeb, of course. Do let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. And the king of non-league, it's not Charlie Baker here at TalkSport. It is undoubtedly Tony Incenzo, one of our fine match reporters. You often hear him bringing us games from QPR, where he never misses, really, at Loftus Road. But Tony put out a tweet earlier on today saying, I've had some incredible experiences in my 50 years as a football fan, but last night was something completely different. It was a real honour for me to be invited to Somerset to perform the official opening ceremony to switch on the new floodlights at Nailsea and Tickenham FC.
Even though they can't afford to run them.
Well, they're in trouble. Yeah. I mean, they probably put them on for about 2 minutes and then turned them straight off because of the electricity bill. But it's a ceremonial role, and Tony is a ground hopper of some repute. So we're interested in the ceremonial role you had. Did you ever find yourself invited along to do? Have you ever done nothing ceremonial? You've never cut a ribbon. You've never done that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You've never turned on the floodlights at a non-league ground.
No.
That's quite specific. But anyway, let us know.
I used to compare the school fate.
Used to
when
compare.
My kids were at school, yeah.
You didn't do this. You would call upon the Lady Mayor or the Lord Mayor.
Yeah, or Jeremy Beadle, as it was at the time.
Oh, Jeremy Beadle came along, didn't he? Yeah. Did he have to cut something or what?
Not really.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. There was no official opening of anything?
No, not really.
Okay, your ceremonial roles, the day you went in disguise and why, or witnessed others. Talksport.com, text. Yeah, I mean, does anybody need something opening or a ribbon cutting? Because Andy's never done it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not getting any younger.
Thanks.
So, I mean, we are talking about bucket list here. So, is there anything you want opened? I mean, knowing Andy, it'll have to be...
It's very short, my bucket list. No point.
One of them's to own a bucket, which is quite weird.
Yeah, it's true.
So, if you need something doing it, it'll have to be quite close to where he lives, because he's not the sort of bloke who's going to travel any distance. You were once offered the chance to be a mascot, like to run out on the
Lee,
pitch.
Lee, wasn't it?
Lee RMI, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Offered you the chance, but you thought it was too far to go.
Too far, yeah.
Okay, he's not that intrepid. He's no Michael Palin. So, within reason, if you need something opening, a ribbon cutting, let's make Andy's dream come true. Talksport.com, text 81089.
West London preference.
Tweet TSHNJ, a very specific area of West London.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, the worlds of opera and football have collided on this show before. I'll make Michael Volpe. Some of the shed end Chelsea fans to try and get him into opera as a man who straddled both worlds himself. But this is taking it even further. It's an opera featuring football fans. And here to tell us more about it is the man playing the kind of John Motson role in all this, the commentator in the opera. It's Lee Mack. Hiya, Lee.
Hello, chaps. Are you all right?
Yeah, we're good.
Thanks.
We're good. So
you've got a slight tone in your voice that says, "How the hell are you in an opera?"
Well, they were. You've obviously seen my script because that was the exact words that were coming out. No, of course not, Lee. You can turn you into anything. But how the hell are you in an opera?
I don't know. Listen, I was surprised that you got your own radio show. I am in an opera because I think they needed someone, obviously, that that can talk. Because every opera singer, I don't know if you know this, but even when they're not like rehearsing, they're singing. They're singing when they're ordering a coffee. They've lost the ability of speech. I'm like a narrator, I suppose.
Yeah,
but you don't have to sing.
Oh, good God, no. In fact, I would put that right up there on the PR thing as saying, come and hear Lee Mack not sing. If that doesn't sell tickets, I don't know what will.
Have you, never did Stars in Their Eyes. You must have been offered it over the years. Did you? Was that ever an option? Do you ever thought who you might have been had you done it?
I think I would have probably been, who would I have been? I'd have probably gone for Vera Lynn, something like that, you know.
Well, that,
I think I've always been told I've got a young Vera Lynn about me.
Yeah, so nice. That would have been a test in the makeup department, wouldn't it? I would have thought.
You never know. I mean, yeah. I can turn my face to anything.
But it does sound like fun, this, Lee, from what we've read. So they have drafted in, they got real football fans to audition for it, didn't they? And so the chorus are proper football fans.
Yeah, and I'm genuinely excited to hear that. I've been rehearsing a lot, and I'm yet to hear it, because in the rehearsal it's played on a little computer that's so quiet I still have never heard it. So it could really throw me. But it's so, like, I didn't realise that I did this, just how many opera songs, you know, are chanted on the terraces. I don't think that people on the terraces know they started as opera songs, but quite a lot of them started out as opera songs. So yeah, it's gonna be exciting when they all sort of come in behind me with like 1,000 voices but on a screen. Yeah.
It might be nice, wouldn't it, if some of the world's best opera singers brought out an album of the football chants. You'd always love to hear, is there a fire drill? That would be be great. Sung properly by an opera singer would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, who's, you know, they're all, you know, Pavarotti singing Who's the Person in the Black?
Yes.
But obviously, I've taken word for that, obviously.
Yeah. And it's going to be a live performance, performances in front of an audience, and then recorded and played out during the World Cup.
Yeah, so just before the group stages of the World Cup, it'll be on Sky Arts.
Yeah,
and it's a perfect time because it's very much about the sort of bidding process of how people get the World Cup. So it's quite controversial.
Mm. Yeah, there is. I mean, the opera is there's a kind of story to it, isn't there? And it enters the world of corruption and other slightly murky areas of football, apart from a sort of celebration of football as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's very much about the corruption in football and how people try and get World Cups. They've been very clever to avoid any legal issues. No country or people are mentioned, but I think we can probably guess which FIFA president they might be suggesting.
I think Kwame Kwayama is involved, a fine actor and director as well.
Yes, I believe so. I have to be honest, I'm sort of drafted in like once or twice a week. I'm drafted in so little that every time I come in for rehearsal, I've completely forgotten everything I learnt last time. So I think they're starting to realise they've got someone a bit out of his depth. I've started insisting on a few things, like, you know, cheat notes, shall we say.
Right, okay.
I'll be all right near the day. I mean,
it's a fun thing. I'm sure you get offered a lot, and I'm sure that, you know, you get that phone call from the agent saying, do you fancy being in an opera about football? You must think something. Yeah, you know, that sounds like fun.
It's certainly, I like this job because you do get surprising offers. I remember the time that someone rang me about, do you remember that thing National Treasure with Robbie Coltrane?
Mm.
I remember someone ringing me up and saying, do you want to be in National Treasure? I said, what's that? And he said, it's a thing about historical sex crimes. And I said, well, who am I playing? He said, you're playing yourself. And that was a really worrying phone call. Genuinely, I was playing myself in it.
Wow.
So when I got this call and they said, do you want to be in the opera? I honestly thought, you do know you've got the wrong number, right?
Yeah.
I don't do the singing. He went, no, you can... You can just do the talking parts. But it's incredible when you're right in the middle of it, you know, right sat bang in the middle of like 500, well, not 500, but loads and loads of brilliant singers.
Yeah.
It's like being in the stands, you know, when everyone sings at the same time. And you can't help but be moved by it. It's incredible.
It's the when you get close up to opera singers and they're singing, it's the power, isn't it? You can think, wow, where does all the power, even a solo voice for an opera singer just blows you away in a way that often other singers don't.
Absolutely, it's so true. I mean, there's it's a cliche, but I have to be honest to say, when they do Nessun Dorma, it still gets me every time. Yeah. I still think of Chris Waddle and Stuart Pearce every time I hear it.
It does have that association.
Well, you had your Stuart Pearce moment, didn't you, in Soccer Aid? You had, you know, the redemption moment.
I did have the redemption. In fact, I often visualise that if I ever did score that penalty, I would do the Stuart Pearce. You know, the way he just stood there calmly and sort of put his fist out to the crowd.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just lost the plot. It all went out the window, yeah.
Yeah,
you've been branching.
If you missed it, anybody, just have a little YouTube. Lee Mack penalty, whatever. It's not about me.
Yeah, the one he put away. It's clear. Yeah. Make sure it's the one he put away.
Well, you'll find a selection.
Or as I call it, the fourth one.
Yeah.
You've been branching out a bit lately, haven't you? Obviously, you did Not Going Out, which you've been doing for
ages. He's still got the window cleaning round, though. No, you've not let that go.
You did Wim Hof's program.
Oh no! Well, you never know when it's going to go.
You don't. That's right. You've got to keep it on the tools.
When I'm cleaning your windows, it's so nice that you do give me a little wave. Yes,
there'll be a little bit extra for you at Christmas as it was last year. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. That's nice.
Sorry, Andy. What were you saying? Branching out.
You did Freeze the Fear with Wim Hof. Was that fun?
Yes, with the crazy Wim Hof. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was. I didn't obviously do anything that involved being cold.
Yeah.
In fact, I said for a joke, I'll always be the one with a hot chocolate and a fake fur coat on all the time. But actually, I ended up struggling because, you know, when you go skiing and actually you spend most of the time boiling hot, it was one of them.
Right.
Yeah, so it really backfired that joke. But yeah, that was an interesting few weeks.
Andy says you're going to be in Brassic, he's telling me, reads today.
Yes, I'm actually going up there tomorrow to about my fourth or fifth day, yeah. So I'm going from the world of Brassic to the world of opera every other day. Yeah. It's incredible. Two massively different worlds.
Oh, that'll be fun, yeah. And
the backstage banter at Brassic is a lot more... a lot more sweary, shall we say.
I would imagine it is, yeah. And have we got more Not Going Outs to come?
Yes, so I'm also trying to write that on the train going up to Manchester when I'm going up to do Brassic. I think I need holiday, basically.
Yeah, it sounds like
I am starting to think something's going to have to give, and I think it might be the window cleaning.
Yeah, well, I'm sure someone will take it on.
Yeah,
there's people out there who will take that on.
Oh, no, you don't take on. You sell the round.
Oh, you do, you sell the round. I mean, I'm sure you've got a price in mind. So if there's anybody interested out there in buying Lee Mack's round off him, I mean, he does some good areas, so it is good at Christmas. He does some quite upmarket areas around his way, so a lot of windows,
comes
though.
A collection of buckets.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So before I let you go, Blackburn Rovers, not going so bad, are they? Just outside the playoff positions. They're kind of effectively,
everybody's outside the playoff positions.
Yeah, but, you know, just outside.
Oh, yeah.
They're always just outside the playoff. I mean, last year, they went on such a run. I thought they were really going to do it last year. But they've, a new manager. And I think they just go on. The problem with Blackburn is they go on runs. So they're either winning five on the run or they're losing five on the run. Their current run is that they're never drawing. They haven't drawn a game this season yet. So I think they've won five, lost five.
Wow. Tedious games. It would be quite good, wouldn't it? Just a couple of boring matches,
boring 1-0s. That'll be perfect. But I reckon sixth this year, scraping to the playoffs. That'd be my prediction.
Oh, okay. Well, you never know. How often do you see teams from sixth go up? So, October the 6th, Lee, we're going to be able to see this on Sky Arts. Is that right?
No, that's the October the 6th is the opening night. You can buy tickets to see it live at Grange Park. He says, looking over to a lady who's telling me.
Grange Park Opera in Surrey, yeah.
Know it. I don't need to tell you. Grange Park Opera in Surrey, October the 6th is the opening night. I'm doing a few nights and then it's going to be filmed for Sky Arts and that's going to be shown just before the World Cup in whenever that is, the end of November.
Fantastic. Nice one. All the best, Lee. We'll catch up with you soon. Take care.
What do you mean soon? You'll be coming to the opera, right?
I'd like to.
If selected, I'm sure we'd love to, yeah. If you've got a couple of spares.
I've just told you the website, buy one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about the Sesko goal, of course. Although it's, you know, he's not strictly playing in Germany on Baywood.
Good news for Steve Perriman travel, as you pointed out.
It certainly was. I did contact the skipper earlier on. I don't think he's involved with that business anymore, but I did say to him, he celebrated in the right place, did Sesko, because if you watch the goal back, and it's gone viral today, there is a big banner ad where he celebrates Steve Perriman at travel. And I met some I've met Sweden fans quite a few times, even abroad. Tottenham fans who are Swedish abroad and in this country who have come over four games with Steve Perryman travel. So the business still exists. Well, I don't believe Steve is involved in it anymore. But yeah, lovely ad for them.
Very good.
It's gone viral today. So,
Now, I don't know if you saw Tony Adams in Strictly and... basically, unless Arsenal fans vote in large numbers, he's definitely going out first.
Well, they probably will, won't they?
I think he was terrible.
I mean, that's it's.
I mean, he was good. You know, he was bold. And he gave it. He getting well, not Steve Bold, but he gave it a go.
Like he was bold.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll get him on the next series. Yes, I did watch it back. But
the
I mean,
outfit
did you
was mad. Did you see him with sort of like red and white outfit?
With the number on the back. And it was, look, they went for it. They embraced it, didn't they, with the 1-0 to the Arsenal and everything.
They did, really, but it wasn't.
But. Yeah, but I mean, what were you expecting him to be? Snake hipped? I mean, you know.
No, I wasn't expecting anything more than
that. But you know, he's game.
He's game. Look, sometimes people start like that and then they go much further than you think, but you do feel he's in danger.
Did he not entertain you, though? I mean, he didn't.
No.
You didn't. Don't you think the public will think, I enjoyed watching him dance. I want him in for another week.
Bad dancing is enjoyable.
I've got to be honest. I mean, I don't watch.
You're not a fan, really.
I don't watch Strictly for good dance. I watch good dancing on a good dancing show.
Well, you do see good dancing.
Yeah, but
dance.
Do you know good dancing from bad dancing, Andy? I mean, really?
Well, I've become a little bit of an expert since I've been watching it, as you always do.
That's a very dangerous thing to say. I watch Strictly, so I've become something of an expert. How would you be on it?
Terrible.
Really?
Oh.
No coordination.
I'd be like Tony, really. Well, it's not that I've got rhythm. Oh, I have.
Well, who could ask for anything more? Really? I've got rhythm.
No. Did you see this story about
the producer says you haven't.
Well,
I mean, I tell you what, you can't hold a tune. I mean,
I can dance.
Have
you ever seen me dance?
No.
When it's the
there's no time like the present, is there?
The TalkSport World Cup tavern, I'll dance for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there was there's a decent reason to come along, we will be popping along to the TalkSport tavern under the arches at Waterloo at some point during the World Cup. And Andy Jacobs will be dancing for you on the stage.
No problem.
Have you got a song? What sort of?
No, I'll work on it. Would
it be sort of pop? Would it be a pop number?
I think it might be a simmering tango.
Really? Who are you going to do it with?
The producer.
Oh, well, that would be fun. Really? What, like an Argentinian tango?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that one.
It looks like a Tony Adams tackle, that does, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it's quite.
It's very odd dancing, the Argentinian tango.
But you're right,
tango.
Andy. It's exactly what's going to happen. The Arsenal fans will get behind Tony, and, you know, they're a big global audience. And,
that's right.
Lying. So I would imagine they'll get behind him, and he'll stay for weeks.
Well, he's going to need it,
yeah.
I'd say. King Charles has... revealed his new CR3 insignia, and people in the Sun said it's a dead ringer for footballer Cristiano Ronaldo's CR7 logo.
Yeah,
it risks being confused with the thing.
Doesn't really. It's not going to be used in the same way, is it?
Not really.
Be walking around in a tracksuit top with CR3 on the back of it. Are you really? Maybe you are. I don't know.
I don't think he is really.
What else have we got for you? I asked you, have you ever been in disguise? Gareth Southgate, the Sun, said he was on a spying mission last night in Vienna watching Iran. And I thought, well, that's pushing it a bit. Just went and watched the match. But then I saw him in a baseball cap. And I thought, whoa, maybe he was slightly incognito. So well, you're interested in
this. This makes me different. He wouldn't play differently just because,
no.
Oh, Gareth's in the stand.
No.
Oh, no, there's a bloke in the cap in the stand.
But he didn't want to get noticed by other football fans, maybe. He just wanted to go there, but quite low profile, not in his England blazer, which we respect, of course.
Fair enough, yeah.
And Kevin Coatbridge tells us, I went to Copenhagen the last Champions League group stage game around December to watch Celtic. My old boss was going to be watching, and I was frightened that if I got on the telly, I'd be in trouble because I didn't have enough holiday and I'd phoned in sick. So I wore a Santa Claus outfit. It's quite clever, isn't it?
That's quite clever, yeah. That's good.
It could have been a bit of a Sons of the Desert moment for Lauren Hardy fans, but Kev got away with it. Well done, Kev. So have you ever been in disguise and why? Tell us your stories this afternoon. And Andy's interested in a ceremonial job. We mentioned Tony Incenzo, Groundhopper, TalkSport reporter, had a great honour last night. He was there. He was, I think he was opening the new floodlights at Nail C and Tickenham FC. And there he is doing the official...
Because he lives in West London.
...ceremonial turning on. So he went all the way down to Bristol for that. He went down that way for to do
this.
He
probably prefers driving to me. He does do a lot of driving.
But you've been offered, the people at Littleton FC said you could go and open their new card machine. Yeah, Worcestershire. Too far for you?
Too far, really.
Yeah, probably is. He said, ideally within 5 minutes of his house in West London.
That's
otherwise,
it.
We are. Although one of the listeners did phone up and said they're willing to drive you anywhere in the country. But we were a bit nervous about that.
I read a lovely story about in the Obit column of the Times about Brian Houston, the Olympic athlete. He was 89, a wonderful athlete, and he died this week, age 89. And it said here that he was working at the Hatton Umbrella Department in Simpsons. This is after he'd retired.
Yeah.
A thief had the misfortune to be spotted by Houston, who may no longer have had the whippet-like physique, but gave chase while wearing a bowler hat and clutching a furled umbrella. Needless to say, the thief was apprehended.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Well, that is good, yeah. Another one of these ceremonials. Derek in Paisley says, they're in a good mood in Scotland. We get a lot of emails and texts from Scotland today. They're wanting to talk and hear about football. They probably might have turned off after Stuart Weir. In the mid-70s, I won a competition to cut the ribbon to a new pie shop close to Burndon Park. Part of the prize was also to hand out meat pies to the players at half-time. What a big Sam would have made of that. Yeah.
Not ideal.
Oh, it would have been mid-70s. He wouldn't have been there. Wasn't there that long. But, what about that? So handing out pies to the players. In the days, probably in the mid-70s, they probably had a pie at half-time.
Nobody had a pie at half-time.
Don't you remember Get Fit with Graham Williams, the old West Brom and Wales fullback? We used to play that record.
Milk and meat.
To be a great professional footballer, drink lots of milk and eat lots of meat, he was telling us.
Funny enough, there's an article in this week's Sports Illustrated about the history of milk in sport. It's a typical Sports Illustrated. It's really interesting.
Quite a Newsweek, was it?
Well, obviously, but milk has featured quite a lot in sport. It's quite fascinating. So
nice. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport.
You wouldn't have thought that, would you?
What's that? Milk in sport?
Yeah.
No. We'll go big on that. I can see Andy Jacobs.
We'll mention it.
A Talk Sport documentary. You'll get a solid hour out of that, Andy, I'll tell you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And the build-up to the World Cup in Qatar, there's been an awful lot of talk of floating hotels, which will be at relatively cheap prices for fans, and tented villages out in the desert.
£184 a night. Fantastic. Yeah. Great value.
But you would think the England families who were planning to go there and watch their loved ones are sort of boxed off, but apparently not. There was a briefing yesterday for family and friends, and kind of told them what to expect. And one of the aspects of it were the prices of the hotels. And it seems the families, despite the pretty decent money that their sons, husbands, etc. earn, they're going to cost up to £3,000 a night. They were told that some luxury villas were £350,000 for the tournament, and if they were planning to go out and have a three-course meal with a couple of drinks thrown in, they're probably paying £250 a head. And they've been shocked. Whatever the boys are earning now, a lot of these boys are from working class stock, and I think it doesn't matter how much money you've got, you balk at spending that sort of money. Which is why we've called on the services of Simon Call, a travel expert, to give us his take on that. Hiya, Simon. He's speechless. Whenever he's Simon Call, he never goes on holiday. He's never had a holiday in his life. Yeah, he's always on holiday. It's a conundrum. Anyway, we'll try and get Simon back.
Well, why didn't FIFA say to the organising committee and say to Qatar, look, you cannot charge your hotels
Simon, is
more
there?
Than...
I think he's... Yeah, he hasn't gone on holiday and he wasn't speechless because he never is. Hi, Simon.
Oh, look, guys, I'm really sorry. I am actually on holiday. I'm in a lovely Stuttgart in Germany, but I always obviously take your calls, and especially on an important matter like this. Yeah. Well, I think we are just, as you've been covering quite comprehensively, and we're discovering yet another benefit of holding the World Cup in the middle of November into December in a country with no footballing tradition and hardly anywhere to stay. Of course, that's reflected in the prices. But look, you were talking just now about floating hotels. I can get you. So England and Wales, OK, if I'm not mistaken, for opening games on the 21st of November, I can get you and indeed me, the three of us. Mm. We can be aboard the cruise ship World Europa. Mm. We're going to be sharing a room. We're going to have to argue about who goes on the sofa, but one of us is going to have to.
And if COVID breaks out on the boat, you won't be able to get to the match.
Yeah, that's true. That's the danger. Yes, yeah, so there's an outbreak.
But it's going to cost us £180 per person per night, which, considering, I don't think it's too bad. That's even going to include your very nice buffet breakfast. Ooh. So that's working. But everywhere else, it's looking horrible. I'm just checking on a well-known hotel booking site, and they're offering me on that night of the 21st of November. So that's the day the whole thing kicks off. There's a hostel where you can stay in a dormitory. That'll cost you £80. And then next up is a single room. That's £500, and rapidly increases to about £1,600 a night. Wow. And so it's everything's scarce. There's a lot of demand, of course. Unfortunately, there just isn't the supply to match it. But there are alternatives.
But not necessarily for the families of the players. The players are going to want to know their families are safe. And we've heard a lot of talk recently about families coming in for abuse, and you don't want to be in a situation where they're, you know, I mean, they want their families safe and in a place that they know and they're being looked after. So, but if that comes at £3,000 a night, Simon, that's horrendous. Yeah.
Well, it is, and it's quite lucky. I absolutely agree that with their backgrounds, looking at those sorts of prices for a night in a hotel look absolutely absurd. And indeed, they are absurd. And I was out in Russia for the 2018 World Cup, and of course that was kind of going to the other extreme. You have the World Cup in the world's biggest country. There's loads of space. I paid I think about £50 a night for a kind of okay 2-star hotel room. There's plenty of room for everybody, and no great rip-offs. Yeah, it was Moscow on final night was getting a bit pricey, but that was about it. And so I'm afraid anybody who's heading out there, whether you are a loved one of a player or whether you are simply an England or Wales fan, or indeed a fan of the game who just wants to see some good football, it's going to cost you. Yeah. And the alternative I'm going to suggest, if you don't want to pay those prices, is you do the obvious thing, which is base yourself in Dubai. Yeah. And then there's just going to be dozens and dozens of flights. Typically £250 return, which is a lot, but not if you're looking at £1,500, £2,000 for a night in a hotel.
Yeah, imagine that's what the players
Unless Dubai do the same thing, because they know that people want to stay. We were in Russia as well, and we stayed in quite a lot of FIFA-approved hotels, one of which in Kaliningrad was, in fact, the worst hotel I've ever stayed in.
I've got the feeling no one from FIFA would have stayed in it. what was FIFA approved? I mean, there weren't that many hotels in Kaliningrad, but the Navigator was an experience.
Terrible.
But What was I going to say to you? I mean, is this purely about there aren't a lot of rooms, so that's why they're at such a premium. But couldn't these sort of, I mean, you would think FIFA, as Andy said at the top, wouldn't FIFA say, you know, you can't scalp like this, you know, you can't whack the prices up to this extent?
It's just the market. Yeah, that's all that's happening. If you've got a very constricted supply of rooms, when everybody is in town, then the prices are going to go up. You can't. As the government is finding, you can't really buck the market. No. The price is what it is. And, you know, FIFA, of course, decided it was a terrific idea to hold the World Cup there. And they presumably would have taken into account the fact that there isn't really much accommodation. If you get a whole load of fans turning up, it's going to be quite tricky. Of course, the other aspect is actually getting out there. And my recommendation in terms of if you want to get a reasonable deal on going out there and staying somewhere close by but without spending too much money, I can tell you you're not going to like it, but it will work, is go and base yourself in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, dreadful human rights regime. Obviously, you're not going to be able to enjoy that sunset cocktail, shall we say?
No.
But actually, the border is only about 30, 40 miles from Doha and most of the stadiums, and you can stay over the other side, and it's relatively easy.
Good for Newcastle fans.
We are being told, though, Simon, that you can't really travel without tickets. If you're they're going to attempt to stop you travelling without tickets at this stage. If they suspect you're an England football fan, they don't want people going there unless they're going to the games.
Yeah, but the thing is, Doha is very much an international, like it's trying to turn itself into Dubai, of course. It's an international hub. Lots of people there for business, lots of people there just on stopovers between flights. And it would be very difficult for them to control it. If you did indeed turn up in your full Newcastle United strip, then you might be identified. But otherwise, I think many people could kind of melt in. With this, and you're not going to be questioned too closely on what you're doing there. So I'm actually quite inclined just to sort of drift in, because the other thing you'll find with these prices is that the closer we get, the lower the prices go, because all these people are trying it on. They've heard, the bloke down the road, he got 1,500 quid a night. Okay, you got a nice apartment, that would be 5,000 at least. But actually, with all big sporting events, prices fall shortly beforehand because everyone's hoping to punt them out at some ridiculous price. Then they suddenly realise, we haven't got any takers. Let's cut the price so that we don't, at least we get something. So I'm quite relaxed about this. But I can see that the loved ones of the players are not relaxed at all about it.
Absolutely. Simon, good to talk to you. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Simon Calder there, travel expert. On his holidays, he comes in and sees us.
Very nice good of him, yeah.
And that's a very good bit of advice. Now, hold your nerve. I remember around the Champions League, the prices for accommodation in Madrid when we went there were horrendous. Did you have any trouble when you went to... You came straight back from Munich, didn't you?
We stayed quite a long way out of Munich.
Right, so, okay.
Yeah, so it was
we stayed pretty central about the prices. But then on the last day, I knew a couple of people who'd booked almost... They took a chance and they got one on that day and they paid more or less the going rate, you know.
The trouble is, if you wait till, say, England are in the semi-final, and then you decide, I mean, I've got a friend who said, I said to him, you're going out there. He said, well, if England gets to the semi-final, we might go. And that then will, again, become very expensive.
Yeah. Well, so don't wear your John Ball outfit or your England shirt. Dress like a sort of off-duty businessman. Check shirt, pair of chinos. That's the way that no one's going to bother you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Just to remind you...
Yeah.
We are bringing you an extra podcast, aren't we? Andy's bits of cut out paper, the best of the stories from all the mayhem that Andy never gets around to on the show.
Threatening letters.
And also a kind of director's cut of clips of the week. And we'll be doing different specials on presenters and shows as time goes on. But you get a 14-day free trial for that. It's on TalkSport Plus. Go to wherever you get your TalkSport podcast.
I think they've been fun. I've enjoyed doing
them. Yeah. TalkSport Plus. And 14 days free. And then I believe you pay $2.99 and you get ad-free podcasts, all the other podcasts ad-free as well, which we bring you with the clips and the H&J Daily as an added bonus. So go and check those out. Give them a try. It won't cost you a penny. And if you like them, hopefully you'll subscribe and we'll bring them to you every month. TalkSport Plus. But for now, thanks for listening. I'll hear with Charlie tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.